All right, we are back with our first Laker hockey show in 5 weeks, and we don't have a game coming up this weekend, but we do have Zach Sizek with us, the assistant coach of the Lakers. Damon Whitten is going to be leaving tomorrow on an extended recruiting trip here because we're not playing this weekend, so he's turned over the controls to Zach tonight, and Zach's been on this show before, so he's no stranger to our listeners or to the fans, and got a small crowd here at the Antlers tonight. That's because most people probably don't know that there's a show tonight because we haven't had one since the second weekend of December. But Zach, this team over the holidays went out to Burlington, Vermont for a couple of games. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a second. But league games up in Alaska, we knew it was going to be a tough trip. And you took 5 of a possible 12 points up there. And really needed a couple of yeoman efforts in the third period of a game at Anchorage and also at Fairbanks to come back and get points out of those. And another a couple of shutouts. We've lost 5 times this season now, 2-0. That's got to be a haunting thing for this team. But I thought you did a good job to get points. And one thing about the Lakers is they always compete. They're a very competitive team.
Yeah, there was certainly a lot to learn from a couple trips there. I know. I think it helped our team getting back into the swing of things, getting on 2 long road trips. Certainly a positive there, as I thought, even dating back to before the Christmas break, I think we've been defending at a high level. And that continued on for the 6 games we've had since break. And obviously we've got to put the puck in the net though.
Yeah, the big thing is we're not scoring goals. We can talk about that in a few seconds here, but I want to talk a little bit in detail about these 2 trips. And I know you were fortunate you didn't make the trip right with the team. They went out of Sioux, Ontario, and went to Toronto, to Montreal, were supposed to bust down to Burlington, and it looked all real nice on paper, but it didn't work out too well. They got delayed, and a lot of equipment was missing, and a lot of luggage was gone in different directions. And you went out of Detroit because you were home for Christmas, and you got there pretty easily and had to be a kind of a run some interference there for guys looking for gear.
Yeah, I had a little recruiting trip right after Christmas, so I definitely lucked out there. We had some issues. The way there was pretty smooth on the way back. The flight from Montreal to Toronto got canceled. So instead of waiting for a new flight there, the guys drove from Montreal to Toronto and then barely caught the flight back to the Sioux. And then we were missing about 6 to 7 bags, and we didn't get a couple of those bags, including Max Humitz and Merrick's Mittens, until the day, probably 12 hours before we left for Anchorage. So, so we were cutting it pretty close.
Yeah, we were getting a little bit nervous there about, whose equipment do we really need here? Well, we definitely need Mittens, and we certainly need Max Humitz. Now, we talked just a second ago about goal scoring has really been a problem. We've been shut out 7 times this season. 5 of those games, 2-0 finals, always in them. Those games up in Anchorage, it was 1-0. Late in the game, we pull a goaltender trying to tie it. They score an empty net goal. Similar situation in Fairbanks last weekend. Why do we struggle so much to score goals? And I know if you had an answer to that, you'd certainly have it all figured out.
Well, I think to turn a positive on that quick, it would be, as long as you defend well, you give yourself a chance every game. So when you are in the third period, we give ourselves a chance to score that goal to tie, which I think our team's done a good job with. But on the flip side there, I think our and it's something we've been talking about since the break, is I think our desperation to score goals hasn't been as high as it needs to be. And that's a little bit of a philosophy around the net, things like that, but also just in your gut, the will to get to those hard areas and score. And I think our desperation is getting better, but it's not where it needs to be right now.
Yeah, right now, Max Humitz is our leading goal scorer. Everybody knows that. He's got 14 goals and 21 points. And he's a guy that the opposition probably keys on every game. If we can stop Humitz, we can beat the Lakers because they really don't have a lot of other goal scorers. Pete Vilette has 7 goals right now, although the one he scored in overtime up in Fairbanks to get us 2 points last Saturday night is not counting because you don't count those points when you go into overtime. But Ashton Calder's got 5 goals for us. He's the 3rd most on the team, and he scored 2 goals on the trip to Alaska, which is really nice to see. because he hadn't scored for a long time. He had a great start to the season, went into the doldrums, kind of came out of it up in Alaska. We're hoping that continues.
Yeah, and I think you know, obviously getting Gelsinger back has added a different element to our top nine there, able to spread some things around a little bit. But it was good to see Ashton get on the sheet a couple times, especially the breakaway goal in Anchorage that would have been Sunday then, that second game. He was able to break away, showed his speed, and a really intelligent move in tight with the goalie there.
Yeah, Ashton's a good hockey player, and he's very competitive, just a sophomore for the Lakers. He's still got time to become a really good hockey player. He's a good hockey player right now, but he certainly has struggled this year. He started really well. Maybe the first, I know Merrimack, he scored a goal in each game. And first few games, maybe three or four of the season, he was very effective offensively. And since then, he's really struggled. He's out there on the power play a lot. You would think he'd have a few more goals because he can shoot the puck, and he knows where the net is. We seem to really struggle, though, at putting it away when we need to. I think right now the Lakers are number 52 in the country out of 60 teams at the D1 level in scoring. We're averaging 1.93 a game. Goals against, we're 46th in the country there, 3.25. Those are not good recipes and numbers right there for success. But, you know, we're still competitive. I don't think we've been out of very many games this year, maybe at Bemidji, one game at Bowling Green, a game at Michigan. But other than that, it's been we've been in every game we've played.
Yeah, I think in terms of the defensive side first, I think if you look at our, even dating back probably a couple weeks before the Christmas break, our defensive numbers have been very solid. You know, we're really happy with that up and down our lineup. Offensively, it's something that we've been fighting all year. In terms of structurally, we haven't changed almost any. We really haven't changed much from last year when we were the seventh highest scoring team in the country. So obviously we lose some big pieces in terms of the personnel. You lose a Kugliata, Terrell, Nellis. And we're hoping that one or two guys can help Max here and get on the score sheet.
Yeah, we also had a trip. We've mentioned it already, but we went to Alaska last weekend. It's the first time the Lakers have had that luxury of being able to stay up there, if you want to call that a luxury. Where you go up, you play two games in Anchorage, then you go to Fairbanks and settle in there and play two more games. A lot of teams have done that over the years. The Lakers have always been kind of forced, if they're going to go to Alaska, to go two separate trips. This is a lot less expensive, yet it still is a horrible expense on the budget. And we come out of there with five of a possible 12 points. But, man, some of the things that go on when you make a trip like that, I understand the trip up and the trip back were not, you know, nothing went awry. It went pretty much as you might expect, but really cold in Fairbanks, Alaska.
I didn't know it could get to negative 44, so that was pretty impressive. Just when you would step outside, like I was telling you before the show, like you just couldn't breathe. It would attack your chest, and you were breathing in exhaust, and it was just so that wasn't a very fun experience. But personally, that was my first time out in Alaska, and it's a beautiful, beautiful state. In terms of the travel, like you said, as perfect as it can go as you travel out to Alaska, I think we got it. So certainly a positive there, and it's good that we don't have to make that travel again for the rest of the season.
Well, the one thing we're facing right now is the Lakers have not had that they haven't had some of the breaks that some other teams have had in our league or ahead of us in the standings right now. We played a lot of good teams, and we played the toughest teams in our league. Now we go into this last 10 games of the regular season, and we've got some teams in there we should be able to beat. We should have some good fortune with Anchorage at home. We've got Ferris on the road. We've got another home series with Huntsville, where one of the two games will be at Green for Life Arena in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. But these are games we can win, and we can get some points out of this. Right now, we're seventh in the standings in a 10-team league. If the playoffs were to come around today, we'd be playing at Bemidji State. I don't know that we want to do that, but I don't think we really care. We want to make sure we're in this playoff picture and try to pull an upset in the first round.
Yeah, I think coming up here, this is a great time for a break. We played 28 games, which is the most you can possibly play in the country right now. So certainly a good time for a break, but also really important, like you mentioned there, really important games coming up with teams that are, we're all kind of in the same spot in the standings right now. So we talked to our guys after the tournament in Burlington that we've started playoff hockey already. So by the time we do get to March, we should be seasoned for it.
Yeah, go back to Burlington for a second, too. We kind of forgot about that because we've had two series since then up in Alaska that are WCHA series. But that tournament in Burlington, that could have gone either way. I mean, we lost tough games there, 2-1. And, you know, I listened to a lot of the Providence game. I thought the Lakers actually outplayed Providence, but we couldn't buy a goal. That's our modus operandi these days. We just don't score, and so we lose that game, and then we lose to Vermont, a team we probably should beat, but they were at home, and they had a fair number of people supporting them, and it's tough to win in Burlington in that tournament. They've won that tournament a lot of times over the years.
Yeah, I think going back to the Providence game first, that was probably one of our better games of the season against a very high-end talent team, an unbelievable coaching staff. They're very deep. They've got the top two scorers in the country on that team. And we thought, you know, our compete level was very high, but also our structure was good. Execution was pretty good. We needed one more goal there and to lose to them on a, you know, with 15 seconds left, whatever it is. It stings, but certainly it was good to learn from. That next night in Vermont, we ran into the kid for them. He's played in net there. Lekas has played. I don't know if there's a goalie who's played more games since they've come into college hockey as a senior. He has that ability to steal games, and you know, I thought we played much better against Providence. I'll say that.
Yeah, than Vermont, yeah. And yet we wind up with two L's coming out of there on your overall record. Doesn't mean much because the important thing is league play, and you don't have any league play this weekend. You get the rest here. Are we nursing any injuries that this is going to help us with? I would think this would be a real good break period because you started classes on Monday, gives everybody a chance to get back into the classroom for 2 weeks before you have to play a game, and right now, we've probably got a couple of guys who are bruised up a little bit who could use the time as well.
Yeah, I would say that we're fortunate. No major injuries. It's more the sickness and illness. That trip takes a lot out of guys, especially that second half of that trip when the weather was pretty cold. So we had a lot of guys fighting some sickness, especially on the way home. So I think that's probably what it's most beneficial for. It's good to see Colin Sockman today, and his recovery looks like it's going pretty well. So he's our only injury right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Sacco here on the program tonight because we haven't updated anybody on him. He's gone, it looks like, for the season with a knee injury. He did have surgery prior to Christmas. But he's a tough guy, and he'll rehab hard, and I'm sure he's got a future in the game of hockey, although it's really tough for us. That's a bitter pill for us to swallow. He's a really good player, one of our co-captains, and means a lot to this team. You can tell that he's not there on the power play. Our power play has really fizzled since he went out of the lineup.
He's going to be, you know, first and foremost, important for his mental health, that he's around the guys, and he is going to have a very bright pro hockey career, and he's going to be very, very helpful in terms of being around the guys right now. Certainly an asset for our staff as well, digging in the special teams, defensive play, anything like that. So it's really, really good to have him back.
All righty, that updates you on Colin Sackelman, the Lakers senior defenseman. We're going to take a break here on the Laker Hockey Show, returning for the first time in 5 weeks here tonight. We'll get back into the swing of it the rest of the season, and we'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show, returning to the air tonight. We've got Zach Sizek, the assistant coach of the Lakers, with us. Damon Whitten is going on a recruiting trip tomorrow. I guess recruiting's a really, I mean, it's always important, but we've lost some battles this year in the recruiting war, and we need to get some players yet, and we could maybe stop right now and talk a little bit about some of the guys who are coming in. We have a number of letters of intent that have been signed, and there's a couple guys I wanted to ask you about. I asked you pre the show here tonight, but how is recruiting going at this point, and what is it that you assess we still need for next season?
So Yorkie was just out for a while there. Coach Whitten's going to be out this weekend. I'm also going to be on the road this weekend, so we're gonna hit it pretty hard here and follow up with some guys that we've been talking to. I think we're in a good spot right now. I think we're still right now probably looking to add another defenseman and potentially a forward at the moment.
Yeah, we do have guys coming in. In fact, I asked you about this. I had concern, and you answered it very well, so we'll ask it for the public to hear it. We have a couple of players who have signed national letters of intent who are coming next year, but they're going to turn 21 here pretty soon. And I had a concern as an ex-AD that we want to make sure these guys are either going to school full-time or that they stop playing after that 20. Or we're going to have another Tyler Anderson or another Gordy Dayfield on our hands. We would have a three-year eligibility. You lose a year if you play a game after you turn 21. But if you're going to school full-time at a school that does not offer Division I ice hockey, you're fine because you got 5 years to play four, and they'd come in, they'd have full eligibility. We're talking here about specifically the young man that I can never remember his name, who signed lately, and then we've got Spencer Denbesti, the Marquette kid, who's going to turn 21 in February.
Yep, so I can talk about Spencer first. Spencer's having a really, really good year in Johnstown in the North American League. His first couple years, he's bouncing around a little bit, and it takes guys, you got to be in the right environment in junior hockey, and it takes time to find your game a little bit. And he's, he's having a very, very good season, right around 30 to 40 point range right now. A big leader on their team as well. Probably more importantly, he's done a really good job in the locker room there. Get updates weekly from their coaching staff just about the obviously the kind of hockey player he is, but what he means to that room. And that team always has a pretty good room and a good record, so it speaks volumes to him. Benny Posa is the other one that you mentioned before the show. Was in Green Bay to start the season in the USHL. As of last week, he's now playing in Des Moines. A little change of scenery, and in his first two games, he got two OT winners. So 4 points in his first two games. So I think a good change of scenery for him.
Yeah, Benito Posa is the latest recruit. He's going to turn 21, I think, this Thursday coming up. So what you're saying is both these guys are enrolled in classes at this point, so they're going to save that year of eligibility they would otherwise lose by playing after their 21st birthday.
That's correct.
All right, good. So that satisfies some questions I've been getting on my phone the last few days. And, there are a lot of things to look at here. We've got a number of players going out the door, including Tyler Anderson, who's going to use up his third year of eligibility, a defenseman for the Lakers, so we might need some help there. One of the things that the Lakers seem to struggle with from time to time this year, and they do have veterans playing in that position, they have a little bit of trouble handling the puck from time to time on the blue line, and they don't get a lot of shots to the net that could become goals or be deflected. Or is this something that we work on every day in practice?
Yeah, and it's a really good question because we've talked to our defensemen a lot about that, is getting pucks through. But it's also a product of the forwards down low beating their guys to the net. When I spoke to the desperation aspect a little earlier, And I don't think it's fair to put it all on a defenseman when our forwards need to be working harder to get to the net to open up lanes for them. So I think it's the whole offensive scheme right now, and this really boils down to the desperation.
Yeah, one of the things that's been real positive, I think, all season, and you can talk about that probably as well as anybody on our staff, and that's our goaltending. Merrick Mittens takes a lot of abuse from some fans who think he's not very good, but I think he's been outstanding this year. I think the one game at Notre Dame is the only one I would fault him on for any goals this season, and he's done a really good job. He's got his save percentage up over 9 right now. He's at 9.02 in the save percentage. His goals against is coming down. We're just, our big problem is we don't score enough goals to support him, and we very rarely play with a lead in a game, so he's always having to hold us in there while we try to come from behind. I think he's done a tremendous job for us his junior year at Lake State.
Yeah, you know, and that's something that he, we talk about all the time, is the goalie doesn't have any control over how many goals your team is scoring in front of you, and that's not his job. His job is to perform at a high level at his end of the ice and allow our team a chance to win. I think at the beginning of the year, it was a learning curve taking on the starting role full time. I don't know how many games recently what it is, but he certainly climbed his numbers a long way, and he is playing very, very, very high level hockey right now, which is, you know, about a year and a half in the making here with his development. So he's doing a good job.
Yeah, right now Merrick Smittens leads the nation in minutes played with 1,582. He's second in saves in the country at 673. He's also second in shots against. I mean, that's because he's played 28 games or 27 games. I think he's played all but one game for the Lakers this season. But, you know, you play a lot of games, you're going to see a lot of rubber at this point. But he's done a good job of holding that puck out of our net. I mean, when it's 1-0 late in the game up in Alaska twice and you wind up losing 2-0, you can't really fault your goaltending. You got to look at that's offensive production or lack thereof.
No, and I think we just talked about how we think Merrick's has really elevated his game, but I think our whole team defensively, from forwards defending and our defensemen defending, has taken a huge step. I think the Bemidji weekend on the road there was obviously pretty eye-opening, and that was kind of our foot down. Kind of had to put our foot down right there, and that was not acceptable. And I think since then our team defending habits have been much better.
Yeah, it's been a pretty solid effort for the most part defensively. We had a couple of games where I think in Bemidji in the first half of the season, we weren't really prepared for what they threw at us either night. We lost 7-1 and 5-1 and lost one game by a fairly wide margin at Bowling Green. But, you know, we saw Bowling Green in the Sioux right before Christmas. We won a game in overtime where Hampus scored the game winner for us, Hampus Eriksson. And, you know, I thought we played really well in both those games against a very good Bowling Green team that just went up and beat Michigan Tech twice last weekend.
Yeah, and that's, I think it's a positive for us at least that, we've beaten every team in our conference here in the last 2 years. You just got to get to the dance there and in the playoffs, and then you have to see what happens, and you have to be ready and make sure you're playing that high level hockey when you enter playoffs. And I think right now on one side of the puck where we're defending at a very high level, and it's going to help us in playoff hockey. And when we still have some time, but we have to figure it out here pretty quick on the other side.
Yeah, I think, one of the things we've got here, we got Max Humitz, who I would say is a trigger man. He's got 14 goals. He'll score. He can shoot the puck as well as anybody in the college game. And he wasn't a huge scorer when he played junior hockey, but he's done a great job for Lake Superior State. He's a senior now, a co-captain of this team. But, you know, after that, it really drops off in the goal-scoring department. And I think that's probably because we have a lot of guys who concentrate on making plays rather than scoring goals. Like Pete Violette has got 7 goals, and he's scored for us fairly regularly. But you got a freshman like Louis Bedone. He's got 3 goals, 12 assists. But he's had a lot of points in the last 4 or 5 hockey games where he's assisting on goals. We have a lot of that. We have a lot of setup people who like to make the play to get another guy to score the goal. We could probably use a couple more guys who like to shoot the puck rather than make the play.
And that's a good point. And I think it's, I don't know if it's so much shooting the puck as to getting to the right areas. If you know, you've watched Pete Viette play, he's not the biggest guy, but he has a, tremendous skating ability. And his last 3 goals, that including the one that doesn't count for the 3-on-3 overtime, he's about 2 feet in front of the crease. So that's where we're going to score goals. It doesn't matter if you're 6'5 or you're 5'6". Those are the areas you have to be, and it doesn't take a great shot from there. It takes a willingness to get there, And like I've said a couple times, I think it's more of that willingness to get to those areas.
Yeah, wouldn't you say that was the real strength of Diego Cuglietta last year? He was so smart and so fearless. He would step into those what they call dirty areas and put the puck in the net, even though he'd be tied up, hit, clutch, grabbed, he put it away.
Absolutely. A couple of things about Diego is you even just watch him take a faceoff. He had a very low center of gravity. He's really, really hard to knock off the puck. I thought his hand-eye coordination was really good, which mixing those two things together in an area where you're going to be constantly hit is a great combination. So, you know, there's a couple guys where we think we would like to take, that step in that area right there. But certainly Diego was obviously why he led the country is because he was good in those areas where you score goals.
All righty. We're talking to Zach Cizik, assistant coach with the Lakers here tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. We're returning after a long hiatus. We're going to take a break here. I want to let you know who the players of the week are, though, in the league at this point before we get out of here. Our forward of the week this past weekend, for the third time this season, Vincent Demay, and we're going to see him in the month of February, the sophomore at Northern Michigan. He had 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points, and a sweep of Anchorage. He was the forward of the week. The defenseman of the week was Tommy Muck, the senior from Bemidji State, a goal and 3 assists, 4 points, and a sweep of Huntsville. And that was on the road, too. And then the goaltender of the week, Nolan Kent from Northern Michigan, a home sweep of Alaska Anchorage. And that's the second time Nolan Kent's won the Goalie of the Week award this year. And the Rookie of the Week, Lucas Sauter, another one on the way at Minnesota State. Just a freshman, but a goal, 2 assists, 3 points in their sweep at Ferris State. We'll take a break. We'll be back with a third segment right after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for segment 3, Laker Hockey Show, returning to the airwaves on ESPN tonight, and we're at the Antlers, smallest crowd we've had in here this season, I think, but I think that'll pick up as the season gets back underway. We've got 10 games remaining in this season at this point, Zach, and some of them are games we ought to win, but hey, when you say you ought to win them, you got to go out and do that, and everybody's competitive. It's a tough league, and you can't count anybody as being an easy victim at this point. The Lakers are too far down in the standings for that, but we got to be optimistic about this. This team could still finish as high as sixth or even fifth place in the standings, depending on how it goes these last games.
Right. This will be a really important weekend, obviously, that we're off, but we get to see how the rest of the conference does here, and they get to shake up the standings a little bit, and it'll give us a better idea. Obviously, you want to win everything you can, but it'll give us a pretty good idea of what we have to do to get where we need to be. But like there's only 10 games left, but it does feel like a while once you factor in playoffs and everything like that. So it's important that we're every practice, every week, that we've got to be very detailed here.
Yeah, this weekend we've got a series that's going on up in Anchorage where the Seawolves will be playing host Alabama Huntsville. That'll tell us a few things because right. If one of those two were to win two of those games, they could move right up on the Lakers in the standings. And Ferris State is playing Alaska at home this weekend. If they can pick up points there, they're only 5 points behind Lake Superior. So they'll have that up on the board in the room, and that'll be their goal this weekend is to get points.
Right, and I think, like we talked about with our team, we've been in playoff hockey here since before the two Alaska series. I would guess that's the same for a couple teams that we're going to be playing here in these next 10 games. It's a desperate time of the year, and everyone's fighting for a playoff spot right now.
You know, the first semester, we don't always talk about academics on this program, but academically, this is a very good hockey team. They're about a 3.4 as a team, maybe even higher than that. A couple of guys had 4 points in the fall semester. Roman Bengert was one of them. I think Tyler Anderson had a 4 point as well. Talk a little bit about that and what it takes. I mean, these are student athletes. These are guys who put a lot of time into hockey, but they do a pretty good job in the classroom, too, and this team's been just a continuation of last year.
Right, that's what I was going to say. I think last year set a very good standard in terms of that part of our culture is that you have to work hard in every aspect of being a Laker here. because one transfers over to the other. If you're not putting your, you know, you're not putting your all on the ice, you can't just switch on your hard work. It's not a on and off switch. So I think our guys have done a really good job. I think the culture on that side is very strong. It takes a lot out of these guys. You know, going to school, going to class, having homework when you get home, managing a social life, which is obviously a very critical part of college and beyond college. So there's a lot to balance, and it's a testament to our guys. They've done such a good job.
Yeah, they did a great job last year, and they've just continued that here this past fall in the classroom. We'll hope that continues as the year goes on. We've got questions from our fans who are with us here tonight, and we'll get into some of those right now. One of them concerns recruiting. We already talked a little bit about that. Is there any news there other than what we talked about with the players we've already mentioned?
No, we've hit all that. I think, like I said, we're going to be hitting it hard here over these next couple weeks when we've got some bye weeks and exhibition games. So it's going to be a busy time, that's for sure.
Now, a lot of the fans who are here with us know that you work, you know, you do a lot of things. I mean, recruiting's a big part of your game, and coaching, and being a part of the power play and the penalty kill and all those sorts of things. But goaltending's where you really spend a lot of time. You're out on the ice with the goaltenders quite often before practices and during practice, always working with them as well. And one of the questions here tonight is, what's your favorite goaltending drill? Do you have drills that you favor one over another? And do you consult with Merrick Mittens and with Roman Bengard and with Seth Eisley before you do these things, or
that's
what?
That's a great question. It's almost like it's definitely dependent on each guy. Well, what I do is we take all of our guys out individually throughout the week, because we have guys who are different sizes and they're working on different things and they're playing the position a different way. So I definitely think I would have some favorite drills depending on each guy. And it's also a little bit of a flavor of the week. If there's a trend that's been going on, whether it's a good trend, you know, maybe it's something through traffic that they haven't been picking up on, we'll really drill it. Or if it's something more of a little bit of like a skating fundamental, we'll make sure that we keep hitting it so that stays, you know, a strength of their game. But I think it definitely depends on each guy.
Does Merrick have an area where he thinks he needs to work a little bit more on? And does he tell you that he'd like to do this or do that? Or is he like most golfers I know, they'd rather work on the things they're good at and not work on the things they're not very good
no,
at?
No, that's that would be easy. No, I think, you know, all three guys do a good job with that. I think when, you know, I think the way that Merrick's year has went with the steady improvement he's had, if he was only working on the things he was doing good at, he was going to stay where he was. So it shows a lot about those guys. I think even Nick Kossoff last year was much the same in terms of really analyzing his game. And our sessions were spent much more on things that we didn't like about the weekend as opposed to things that we did like.
Are there off-season sports that you kind of recommend goaltenders do, or are there things that they like to do that you approve of? Are there other sports that they can play that'll help them with their goaltending?
Oh, geez, I think, you know, pretty much any sport. I think it's the athleticism part to me is really, really important. You know, obviously like a baseball or something like that would be really important. You know, it's important when see goalies with tennis balls and things like that. It's important that they're actually wearing a baseball mitt, because it can more clearly mimic a goalie glove where you do have the pocket. You're not actually catching the ball or the puck in your palm, which can be confused with. But I wouldn't say I have any specific sports that I recommend, but just being active and getting away from the ice is really important.
Yeah, I think a lot of hockey players in the off season, they'll play a lot of golf, and I would think the European players we have might boot the soccer ball around a little bit, football as they call it, and that's a good eye-hand coordination thing as well as footwork.
Absolutely, that's obviously the popular game for hockey players pregame is the sewer ball, and we have a lot of guys were pretty good, and then there's guys like when I was playing who you stay away from because you're gonna hurt someone.
We've got a couple other questions here. In fact, we've got one that's a statement that I guess we're looking for a response for you on. Okay. And that's to, I think the coaching staff, our coaches and other coaches in hockey should get after the NCAA about OHL players becoming eligible to play, because they think that would really help Lake Superior State if you could get a kid who maybe plays for the Greyhounds and maybe he's a third or fourth liner or something and he's a good kid in school, wanted to go to school. They can't play right now. They're considered professionals. Is there anything on the horizon with the NCAA where they might lighten up on that rule that's been in place forever that keeps us from ever getting an OHL, WHL, or Quebec Major Junior player?
I don't know nearly enough in terms of is it close or, you know, I would guess that it's very, very, very far away. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's ever going to happen. It's a decision that kids, families have to make at a young age. That's about all I can say on that is I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Is there any word at all on Arizona State, what they're planning on doing? Are they looking at the joining maybe the new WCHA or CCHA or whatever the league's going to be in a couple of years?
Right. There's always talks of that. They keep, I think that would be more of a administration question, but certainly they've been a name that's been very, very popular, for whatever the new conference might be. And certainly keeping it outside of that, I think keeping it Midwest would be really important.
Yeah, and that kind of hinges on the next question here, which is which would you like to see the WCHA as it is now expand into when we have this new league in 2 years? Would it be better to go south and west, or would it be better to go northeast with teams that are going to come in to try to fill out the – or maybe we're just going to be a seven-team league for a while?
Yeah, you know, I really like the Midwest feel. I guess just asking me one person, I'd probably like the little more West. I think when you watch the NCAA tournament, I think the differences between the Eastern conferences and the Western conferences are pretty extreme. One thing that's, you know, really, really extreme is the schedules. Western teams are all playing the same team twice a weekend. If you look on at the Eastern teams, they'll sometimes be playing games on Tuesday nights. They'll have two to three different opponents a week. So I think that would drastically change their scheduling. So I think it would make most sense to stay West and have this similar structure where we're playing the same team twice in a weekend.
Okay, we've got one more question from the fans who are with us here tonight, and that's how do we replace Max Humitz's production next season? Well, I guess we're going to hope that Pete Violette and Louis Bidon and some of these guys pick it up and they'll replace that.
Certainly. I think that was a question after Diego and Gage and Nelly left us last year. I think obviously, with Max's production in his first 3 years, he had a lot to back that up with, and he's hitting our expectations right now. We knew he was going to have a really good year, and I think he's still got a lot more to give too. And if you ask him that, he'd say the same. But it's going to be a group effort here, and we've got 10 games left, and this is time for someone to take a step in that area.
Yeah, you ask Max Humitz, and I think he'd tell you he wants to maybe come to the bench long enough to catch his breath, and he wants to be back out there. He's a kid who wants to play. He'd play 50 minutes if you'd let him.
Yeah, and that's we try to get him out there as much as we can, and I don't think that's any secret, especially the teams we play against. He's playing in all situations, and that's where you need a high-end player doing that, is they need to be on the ice as much as they can.
All right, we're going to take a break, our final break of tonight's show. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All right, down to our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night. Supposed to get some snow tomorrow here in Sault Ste. Marie, but it is January. We kind of expect that. It's been unseasonably warm so far for the most part this winter. And, hey, the I-500 is, what, 2.5 weeks away? We need to make some ice up there, and that's probably becoming a bit of a concern. Laker hockey does not play this weekend. The Lakers are off. They'll get a chance to rest up here, get the second semester started properly in the classroom, and start thinking about Alaska Anchorage coming to the Sioux next weekend, and we'll have another show next Tuesday, and we'll have a Laker hockey talk this Thursday morning and next Thursday, and we'll talk a little bit about that right now with Zach Sizek, who's filling in for the head coach Damon Whitten tonight on the show. And you know, you just played them. I mean, there shouldn't be any surprises on their part or on your part. You know what they've got. I thought you played well enough to win both those games up there. Great comeback in the second game. I mean, I kind of quit listening for a while because it was 2-1, and I thought, man, we just can't buy a goal. I turned it back on, and we were ahead in the hockey game. So that's really a good job in the third period of the second game against Anchorage and the second game against Fairbanks.
Yeah, especially the second game against Anchorage. Obviously, we've been struggling to score goals, so it was pretty good to get five in that night. But in terms of previewing Anchorage, it's going to be a little different. That we actually practiced at Sullivan, where they used to play after the week leading up to Fairbanks to play on the Olympic ice. And it is a night and day difference for the sheet that they play on right now. It is very, very small, and it changes the way you play. The dimensions of the offensive zone are much different than our rink. So I think, I believe that plays to a positive for us. But that was something that you have to be out there and you have to adjust for.
Yeah, it's almost unfair. I mean, Anchorage knows that rink pretty well. They are probably geared. They've got their whole team built to play in this little tiny bandbox of an arena. It only seats like 850. They've been averaging 790 or something a game. So they put a lot of fans in there, but it doesn't matter because it's still a small crowd. And gives them a definite advantage. If you're used to playing on 200 feet and all of a sudden you're on like 185 or whatever it is, that's a big difference.
Well, and they've, we were looking at their home games this year, and even if they weren't winning a couple of those games, they were holding some teams to some pretty low scores, and they were close games. So it's a, like I said, the dimensions are way different there. And they're also a much improved team. I thought they did a really good job with their recruiting class for this current roster, a team that competes really well. A couple of undersized guys up front, but that have skill.
Well, they got Matt Brunato up there as one of their assistant coaches, ex-Laker player. And I know Matt Brunato. He's a tough kid, and he's a competitor. And they're going to get better and better with guys like that around, and I think their head coach has done a really good job.
No, certainly they've done a great job, and I think Bruni's certainly a big part of that.
We talked a little bit about Braden Gelsinger earlier in the show, but not at length. This really for him is the first half of his season. I mean, he's probably just getting himself into some sort of game shape. He did score a big goal in the game up in Anchorage that tied the hockey game that night, and we ended up coming from behind to win it and picked up 3 points there. But he's such a valuable guy. If he can get himself back to anywhere near his form last year when he scored 10 goals, he's got that tremendous outside speed. You've been playing him with Erickson and Calder a lot. I kind of like that. That's a good combination. You got Bedone, Humitz going there along with Yillette. Those are two pretty good lines right there. We drop off after that. But, hey, those guys do a good job against everybody.
Yeah, I think Gels is probably just about now hitting stride. There were some habit things where just little simple things that we get on the guys about early in the season, and they're really small details. And I think he's done a good job cleaning those up. And it was really good to see him get rewarded with that goal against Anchorage, and also the play he made on the overtime goal against Bowling Green was a really, really high end pass to Hampus, and something that we were missing.
Yeah, that was a kind of a backhanded saucer, a little bit of a dump right on Hampus's stick. And you know, I remember that goal pretty well. That's one of the highlights of the season for me. That was a home game, and Hampus didn't waste any time. He didn't, as they like to say in the vernacular of the game, he didn't dust it off. He just put it right in the top of the net. That was a great goal.
Yeah, and that was, again, there was a play that Gels, like you mentioned, uses his wide speed, and he does a good job right when the defenseman turns his feet. He's got this, he can see those things pretty well. Right when the defenseman pivoted, turned his feet, he threw it right by his feet so he couldn't turn back, and kind of hit that little area between the skate and stick there, and Hamp he wasn't going to miss from there.
Yeah, and you're talking a good team. Bowling Green State's very good. They've got one of the best teams in the country, let alone our league. And up at the top of this league right now, there's some formidable opponents, and we're going to see a few of them here. We'll see Northern Michigan in the second half here. But we're also going to play some teams we should be able to get points from, and we're looking forward to that here in the second half. Zach, great job tonight filling in for the head coach. I appreciate that, and we'll have you also on Laker Hockey Talk this Thursday morning, and Damon will be on the road. Then you're going to go on the road. Mike's going to hit it again soon. He's just coming off. And, hey, recruiting, that's the lifeblood. We need some players.
Yep, absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right, that's another Laker Hockey Show. Nice to return to the air. Good crowd here for making a little noise, and we'll be back your way next Tuesday night on ESPN 1400.